Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your strong presences here tonight. We thank you for how you manifested yourself to each and every person that's here. Our hearts are hungry and we just cry out for more of you. We're excited about what you've started and that you said you're never going to stop. It's just going to keep growing and building and building. And Father, we're ready to receive. As we go forth in your word tonight, we pray, Father, that your teaching and anointing would be here, that each and every heart would be open to receive, each and every heart that's listening to this on the airwaves, that they would be open to receive and hear what you have. We thank you, Father, for all of these wonderful things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about globalism, the wall, and the Antichrist spirit. There is a lot that is going on in the spirit realm in this given time, and I believe the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be confused or in doubt and unbelief as to what he is doing. And as always, we keep our trust in God, not in man, and definitely not in what the media tells you, because they have a way of twisting things to their own agenda. There has been an agenda in motion since the Tower of Babel to be united as one people, one nation, and one voice. There has been an agenda in motion since the Tower of Babel to be united as one people, one nation, and one voice. Because of man's sinful, broken nature, that desire to be one people, one nation, and one voice has been used by the enemy to stand directly in God's face and proclaim that we do not need him. This is exactly what is going on with globalism. This is exactly what's going on with the different anointings that are false that are being taught to the world. And they're interacting together, they're binding together, and they're coming against the children of God, and they're coming against the anointed of God. And God wants you to be aware of these things. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9 in the New King James Version. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Come, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. If you don't sense this and feel this in the spirit, there is a cry from those who are not of God to have a greater sense of unity and a greater sense of oneness. And this move is going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm. Now, technology has brought us back to this place in history again. We talked about some things earlier before, but you have cell phones where you can look at each other. You have Skype. Everyone can meet and talk, and it's instantaneous. So someone from around the world in Germany right now could be talking and listening and watching everything that's going on. After World War One, in approximately 1920, came the creation of the League of Nations. Its visible purpose was to help resolve conflicts among the nations of the world. On the surface, this sounds like a wonderful idea geared toward helping us all get along together here on this earth. Let's look at James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, admittedly, James is talking about lust for the world and the things of this world driving a person to do war and fight with other people. And I want you to see that this is what is behind most negative activity that's going on. Some form of lust is driving it and pushing it. James has wisdom from God that needs to be understood. On the simplest level, wars and fighting have broken out all over this world at different times because of man's inability to control its desire for pleasure. On the simplest level, wars and fighting have broken out all over this world at different times because of man's inability to control its desires for pleasure. And I'm saying man and woman at the same time. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. And you see the results of coveting in what we just read in James 4:2. The coveting another person's wife, another person's possessions, another person's giftings. It starts the envy and the jealousy and the strife and all of that contention back and forth in the world. And if you go and look throughout history, all of the different wars that have started was because of some form of covetousness that took place, some form of lust that manifested itself. And one person started fighting another person, and next thing you know, one nation is fighting against another nation. So again, it's someone's uncontrolled desires going unchecked and unruled by the Holy Spirit. You lust and you do not have. Because you do not have, you murder and covet, and that desire never stops. It just keeps building, and that desire is never satisfied. You know, we talk about sin a lot. You know, when you get into an area of sin, it just wants to keep going. You know, you don't just stop with looking at pornography. Then you have to go act out on that pornography. You don't just stop with overeating one time. You just have to keep doing it. And whatever that sin is, it just keeps progressing and progressing and progressing. It has no check on it, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. And the world is in such a state right now that anything goes. Some of the stuff that they have on TV is just absolutely insane. And, you know, just the brutality of it is it's reaching another high point in a high place where we're all going to be back at sitting at Genesis 6, where God is going to say, man, it's time that I destroy the earth once again, because that sin nature, that darkness has gotten so bad and so strong that there's nothing that's going to be left. I have to pull the elect out of here, because if not, nobody's going to be saved. What has happened over the years? On the largest level, one nation will look at another nation and say, it's not fair that you have so much and we have nothing. Give us what you have. Give us what you have. We desire the same thing. This is the conflict of the ages. There is always going to be someone who does not have. And that person's desire is always going to drive them to go to war or be in conflict with someone else. It's never a possibility of saying, hey, I'm really happy that you have what you have, and being content in the state that you have. And we see this going across in families. You know, families don't know how to love each other. Families don't know how to interact with each other. There's this constant bickering that shouldn't be. We should be happy that a brother got blessed, a sister got blessed, you know, another family member got blessed, but there's just too much strife in flesh and desire that has to be fulfilled in that person's mind. This is the conflict of ages. There is always going to be someone who does not have. Why? Because our sin nature compels us to not love our neighbors as ourselves. Our sin nature compels us to not love our neighbors as ourselves. Our sin nature forbids us from being like Christ. So that nation becomes jealous and envious, and that desire builds, and then the war breaks out. Now, I'm using national analogies, but James, again, focused on personal level relationships, and he did personal analogies. James concentrates on person to person. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is promises that were given to Abraham. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So here again is another conflict that the entire world is under because God has chosen to bless Abraham. We called him Abram in this section here. But because he's chosen to bless Abraham, we have the Jewish people who are fighting because they want that claim to Abraham. And we have the Islamic people who are fighting because they have a claim to Abraham. So we have all of these conflicts that stay and are constantly going on. The nations of the world fight over a birthright to Abraham. If you have that birthright, you are blessed. If you don't have that birthright, you are cursed. When you look at all of the conflicts that are going on between the Jewish faith and the Islamic faith, it's all tied to Abraham. The nature of sin is that it is literally uncontrolled desires that flare up, and you come up with the statement that you want what you want when you want it, and no one is going to stop you from getting it. I'm going to read that again. The nature of sin is that it is literally uncontrolled desires that flare up, and you come up with the internal statement that you want what you want, when you want it, and no one is going to stop you from getting it. I am bringing this out because you need to get an understanding of how dangerous our individual sin natures are if they're not covered under the blood of Jesus Christ and submitted to the cross. You also need to understand that those individual sin natures are seeking to join forces together against what God has set in motion. You also need to understand that those individual sin natures are seeking to join forces together against what God has set in motion. So it's not just your individual sin or your neighbor's individual sin. Corporately, that sin in the whole area seeks to destroy the anointing that God has set and has implanted. Delaware is extremely dark because there's so much sin that is in this land. That is in the leadership within the government, that is in the leadership within the church, and that's just in the people. And because it's going unchecked, God has to bring a strong anointing to break it and to completely destroy it. And he's raising up a people in this hour where he's going to do that. And he's promised his remnant that this is exactly what he's going to do. Genesis 11, verses 1 and 2. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now I just wanted to highlight these maps so that you can see this area in the Bible, the kingdom of Nimrod, Assyria, Gutlam, Elam, Sumer. If you could flip to the other map. These are modern-day Turkey, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Babylon, Iran, and all of these places are fighting today. They're fighting, or they have some type of conflict going on right now, where they're summoning the principalities and powers of darkness to those regions, and they're sending people out to different areas. They have people that are sent here to the United States to fight in war against the saints of God. They have people that are sent to England and Spain, all of the different places around the world. They're coming from this region of where all of this darkness is. Now, Israel's over here somewhere. It's not on the map, but I'm just highlighting that. We are coming back to the very same scenario in our time. The biblical land of Shinar is modern-day Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and a few other countries. With the increase of technology, smartphones, satellite phones, the world is becoming a much smaller place. However, the mindset of the peoples of the world are all the same. Are you all getting that? The mindsets of the people are all the same. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what country you're from. If you have a sin nature, that sin nature is just drawing yourself to each other, and it's keeping things flowing in a negative direction. John chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. Now this is the key, and this shows how every person that's worldly is connected together. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So, tying all of this together, the mindset of the peoples of the world are the same. They are set on darkness. And it doesn't matter whether you're from Delaware or Saudi Arabia. If you have a sin nature, all of these things are congealing and connecting together. And you need to understand this, because God does not want you wasting resources and energy preaching to darkness that will never be or comprehend the light. Let me say that again. You need to understand this, because God does not want you wasting resources and energy preaching to darkness that will never be or comprehend the light. So this is telling you that there's going to be people that you encounter that they're not going to get saved. And God doesn't want us wasting our time on those people, because they're in the way of the ones who really do want to get saved. They're in the way. And you don't know who wants to be saved. God has to lead you. God has to direct you to those people. So, John 14, verses 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Here again, the world's on one mind, one accord. They can't receive the truth. They can't receive that Jesus got on the cross and died for their sins. They don't accept that. It's just something that's totally, they're unable to even recognize it and see it. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. The world will never be able to receive Christ. Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Verse 10. make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. There comes a point in time that spiritual laws that God has set up just start taking over. And we see this within the church sometimes, because God will speak and speak and speak, and then he'll stop speaking. And that really means sometimes that you have not done everything that God has asked you to do. So he's just being quiet until you catch up and do what he's asking you to do. Unrepentant sin will cause one to fall into what Isaiah said in verses 9 to 10. Isaiah was talking to God's people, but this also applies to the world as well. You cannot keep rejecting God's voice without there being a consequence. You cannot keep rejecting God's voice without there being a consequence. The world is aligning itself up to think and just be like their father, the enemy. The world is lining itself up to think and just be like their father, the enemy. We as Christians don't tend to think about this on this level, but I want to present this concept to you that Christ talked about in Matthew 12, verse 30. In Matthew 12, 30 says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." So there are going to be people that you're going to come in contact with that are just not of God. Jesus accepted it. Jesus knew it. And he kept it moving. Now, all of the people in the world who are not for Christ are against him. All of the people who are in the world who are not for Christ are against him. That's kind of a mind-blowing concept, because we don't want to accept that. We don't want to acknowledge that there are going to be people who will not come in line with the Word of God and who will not come in line with Jesus Christ. Tying everything together that we have talked about, when you start hearing people say, "We want unity and peace, we want an end to war, and everyone to live happily ever after," aside from Christ coming back and having been transferred here to this earth, this is a false promise that will never come to pass. Aside from Christ coming back and having been transferred here to this earth, this is a false promise that will never come to pass. It's false because everyone's sin nature will cause covetousness, murder, envy to be at its highest levels. Why? Because the unrepentant will always seek to gratify their sin natures. It's false because everyone's sin nature will cause covetousness, murder, envy to be at its highest levels. Because the unrepentant will always seek to gratify their sin natures. So from the birth of the League of Nations in the 1920s, we have this mindset of everyone making an agreement to love and care for one another, but it really is based upon false pretenses. So, enter globalism. I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but they have this term out there that they've been talking about in the news. You're a globalist, or you want world peace, you want things to happen in the world, versus us being individuals as the United States and Spain and England and Venezuela. They want to get rid of all of those types of classifications. You're a citizen of the world. You're not a citizen of the United States, or you're not a citizen of those other countries. So because they have this terminology out there, and this whole mindset is going on, they're doing things behind the scenes to bring about and set up the one world government. So, globalism really is a system that is not fantasy or a conspiracy theory that people have just kept hiding behind the scenes. So, that is the lie that God needs is breaking, because a lot of people say, well, that will never happen. The world will not all get on one mind and one accord. No, it's happening now. They're already there. They're already in the mindset of we've got to work together to get rid of the Christians. We've got to work together to get rid of everything that is going to stop us from doing and having the power that we need to bring Satan back here to this earth. Some of them on the highest levels will tell you that and will say that. Others won't, because they don't know it. They see, they get fed the lie of unity and peace and everybody being in a state of calmness and just happiness. But the real ones who are driving this whole thing, their goal and their aim is to bring Satan back to this earth so he can have it for his own self. This part highlighted in the yellow. Globalism is far more than geographical or eliminating national borders and boundaries. This guy Garlow wrote, it is spiritual and demonic at its core. Globalism is far more than geographical or eliminating national borders and boundaries. It is spiritual and demonic at its core. It is an actual plan that the nations of this world are committed to working on together. The nations of this world get together on a regular basis and they decide how the entire world will be run. Now, this is what made so many of our past presidents dangerous to the United States. Jimmy Carter, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, and Obama, in the interest of cooperating with the rest of the world, agreed to give up some of our sovereignty as a nation. They yielded over their power to the leaders of this world government, knowing down the road that they're setting this world up to bring in the Antichrist to run everything. This was done for many reasons, but the main reason was globalization. Globalization is the concept of distributing the wealth of the wealthy nations to the poor nations. Globalization is the concept of distributing the wealth of the wealthy nations to the poor nations. And it's not so far-fetched to think that this is hitting the United States. There is a representative now who wants 70% of the United States wealth to go to the poor. She wants to charge a 70% tax to each and every person so she can redistribute it. So you work 10 days a week. 7 of those 10 days goes to this woman so she can redistribute it. There's people in our government now that have this mindset, and they're coming out in the open and they're telling this. And it used to be that people would say, hey, this is crazy talk, we're not going to do this. But no one's saying this is crazy anymore. And the ones who would protect and fight against this, they're slowly either dying off or they're not actively saying, hey, this is wrong, we need to stop doing this. Now, the younger generation, they don't know what the older generation knows. So they're allowing and accepting, hey, that sounds like a good idea. You know, no one has to be rich. You know, there's enough to share and to spread around. So they're missing the whole point of what's really going on and how the world is being split and divided. Now, this concept was put together by leaders of the wealthy nations who had the belief that it wasn't fair that England, France, Spain, United States, Russia, China, and a few other wealthy nations had all of the access to the resources and power to create wealth. And over time, they started enacting laws upon the richer nations to benefit the lesser fortunate nations. Some of these laws included for us in the United States, we were not allowed to produce our own coal. We took it upon ourselves that we were going to be the bigger nation, and we were going to stop producing coal because it was unfair to the other nations who didn't have coal. So whatever monies and revenues that we could have been keeping for ourselves and even benefiting the rest of the world by producing it, we decided that we're not going to do it. When President Trump came in, he said, this is dumb for us to do, and he put a stop to it. So who's mad at President Trump? All of the globalists. All of the ones who are saying that they need to share the wealth. They're upset with him because of this. Now, if you remember when we first started out, we talked about how God chose to bless Abraham. He could have blessed the other nations, but he chose to bless Abraham. So who became jealous and started fighting against Abraham? The other nations. It was God's will to bless Abraham, and there is no one on this earth realm that will be able to stop it. It's just plain and simple. It's what God wants. It's what he's having to happen. One of the concepts of globalization is the absence of any border walls. One of the concepts of globalization is the absence of any border walls. The central point here is national boundaries have not been eliminated because of globalization, but rather have been reorganized to reflect the interests of the global marketplace. Far from establishing a so-called global village, global capitalism employs exclusionary tactics manifested more dramatically on the border that facilitate the efficacy of capital, but not necessarily that of actual individuals. The globalists are okay with having boundaries drawn on maps and invisible, but they don't want an actual wall. They believe that this is counterproductive to globalization. So, what they're saying here is that these people who are running the world, who are in control of the world, are going nation by nation and saying, your national boundaries don't matter to us anymore. And it's okay that you have them on paper, but we don't want you to enforce them. Because you're not a citizen of Spain, you're not a citizen of England, you're not a citizen of the United States. You are a citizen of the world. And because you're a citizen of the world, we're all going to be one great big happy family. The movement for multiculturalism within the United States. You know, you don't come to America and become an American. You come to America now and you bring your Mexican traditions, you bring your African traditions, you bring your Irish traditions, and everything's hyphenated, African-American, Irish-American. But before, when you came to America, you dropped that identity and you became an American. The stuff that they're doing now, this is all a part of globalism. They're trying to get everyone to be, we're all equal, we're all the same. And it's a mixture of what actually should be going on. I want to reemphasize what Mr. Archer says. Borders are being reorganized to reflect the interests of the global marketplace. If you're a capitalist nation, by virtue of the fact that nations have a border, that means you exclude other people from being able to achieve wealth. So they have the globalists have the mindset that because we want to put up a wall, we're being unfair to people and we're causing them to be poor, which is not the truth. Globalists don't want nation states to have their own borders. Now check this out. The religion of globalism sees an earthly utopian world order in which all men pay allegiance to their elite priests who rule over a world city without national borders. The religion of globalism sees an earthly utopian world order in which all men pay allegiance to elite priests who rule over a world city without national borders. Without nation states within those borders, the only alternative to that is a global governance scenario, which is terrifying. There is the evidence that globalists don't want the United States to have borders, to have a wall to keep people with evil intent out. The more that you read and learn about this stuff, the more that you can see that the world is being prepared for the Antichrist to come in and take it over. The more that you read and learn about this stuff, the more that you can see and learn that the world is being prepared for the Antichrist to come in and take it over. It should really cause you to see and know that spiritually things are changing around the world. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from them, from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Now this was in the times when Jesus was being born, and we're circling back around to having this type of structure. I don't know if you've heard, but they're planning on doing a world tax. How is it coming in now? They're saying it's not fair that we have we are contributing to global warming. So in order for us to be fair to the rest of the world and the rest of the nations in the world, we want to tax the citizens of the United States so they pay their fair share of cleaning up global warming. This is real. This is real stuff that they have going on right now. Now, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2. The king had a dream and Daniel interpreted it. Daniel told the king about how there's going to be a fourth kingdom that will be very powerful in the end time. Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 to 46. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Verse 41. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Verse 43. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. Just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, verse 44 is a different kingdom than the fourth kingdom. If you notice, it says that the kingdom will not be left to man. This is God's kingdom. But when you look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 42 to 43, you see that it's been prophesied that there will be a one world government. I am saying all of this to say that these things shall come to pass. You just need to be prepared for what God is doing. Because God has an agenda going on. We have had several presidents in the past who have been used to prepare this nation to go into and be a part of that one world government. In times past, our being a part of the United Nations, NATO, and all of the other world organizations was thought of as us leading the world. But what really was going on was we are being prepared and we are being positioned, to take our place with the other nations of the world. Now, let's talk about the border of the United States. We're going to look at some clips from Rick Joyner, and this we're going to see why this is so important to President Trump. You can play the first one now.
Awakened with a dream last night that is one of the most startling I've ever had. Now, I'm so thankful that a few weeks ago I had a dream about going to heaven, because the one I had last night was about anything but heaven. But it was a very real warning And I want to give you a warning right now. If you're one of those that need to have your ears tickled, that you don't want to hear anything negative or bad, turn this off right now. And I am not doing this as some kind of promotional thing to get you curious so that you'll watch the program. If you have trouble with fear and things like that, I need mature Christians to hear what I'm about to say. What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. The United States warning dreams are about the schemes of the enemy that God is revealing to his people so that we can stop his schemes. But this is a scheme against our country, the United States. And what I saw in the dream, I first saw the most horrific gang I have ever seen. I mean, this was a demonized gang. I mean, this was diabolical. They were diabolical in their nature. I can't imagine demons being more diabolical than these people were. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. Now, I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. Cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but this was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death. And everybody in the most cruel way was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details there. Those are not necessary. But I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people. Matter of fact, they were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. And it was just the most diabolical thing I've ever seen. And now this morning, there's all over the news today about how ISIS, they just thwarted a plot of ISIS in Australia where they had a number of people. They were going to do a number of beheadings right there in Sydney, Australia, in the suburbs around Sydney, in order to show their reach. Listen, they are in Sydney. They're in Australia. They are in virtually every country of the earth right now, and they're pouring through our southern border as I speak right now. Our government has left us almost completely vulnerable to one of the most terrible diabolical attacks anyone's ever faced. And it's happening. The only thing that is going to stop this is the closing of our border and then a re-education of many of our law enforcement people to really understand real threat and not just how to be politically correct. And I'm not going to go into all that right now, but this is the only thing that's going to stop. But what I saw in this dream last night, and when I woke up, there were some very supernatural things still going on that I saw with my own eyes and ears. It was a very dramatic prophetic experience.
Now, when he first got this, I forgot to tell you this, he got this in September of 2014, and at the time, President Obama was president, and these gangs and stuff have not stopped until President Trump started getting in and beefing up the border as much as he could without the wall, sending troops down there. And if you see some of the side articles in the news, they're catching this gang that's MS-13. There's some that's in Delaware, there's some that's in Maryland, but this is a religious type of gang where they, like he said in his dream that he had, they're ranked according to how much they torture you and how much they brutalize you before they actually kill you. So I believe that President Trump, God has shown him this, and this is why he is so adamant that we really, really need to put this border wall up to stop this. If you watched his speech last night, he talked about the hordes of drugs that were coming in through the United States, through the southern border. And he said, if we put this wall up, this will stop the opioid crisis by 90%, because they're just walking in through our back door. And when Rick Joyner had this prophetic dream, you know, at the time we didn't have the hope that we have now, because again, Obama is a globalist and he wants to do what the globalists tell him to do. And even though he's not president now, he's still on the scene doing different things, trying to subvert the authority of the current president right now. So keep all of this in mind. And this, like, again, the stuff he said was in September 2014, but it has increased, you know. And if you listen, the urgency in the hour to get this border wall up has increased, because these things have not stopped. They're building. You can play the second clip now.
Okay. This is another thing that I saw. There was a major uprising almost every state in the union. Almost immediately started rejecting federal authority over their state. It was so widespread, so total, federal government really couldn't do anything about it. It was chaos. It was leading to anarchy very quick. And now I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country, where citizens were just saying, if our government's not going to protect us, we will protect ourselves. Now, I know many think of, and the militias have been portrayed as all white wing extremists. And listen, there are some out there that I think are as terrifying as some of the Islamic State terrorists are. These are not the kind of militias that I saw popping up, though. These were people, they weren't trying to take over the government, overthrow the government. In their mind, we had no more federal government. It was not doing its most basic job of defending our country. They had let this happen. They had opened the door wide, very foolishly. Everything was brought up from the past, like, you know, Fast and Furious, all the crazy things our government had done. And almost quickly, there was an awakening around the country that our federal government is either crazy or our federal government is trying to do us in. And the federal government became looked upon as an enemy of the citizens of America. This happened so quickly because of the attacks and the level of cruelty that was witnessed by those who were pouring across our southern border. Now, these weren't all ISIS people. ISIS was involved. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. This was something far beyond that. It was mixed with an unbelievable diabolical cruelty that was coming from every evil source you can think of. It was like the bowels of hell had been opened. I know we've discussed on this program before, and the dreams and visions that have come before, about the bowels of hell being opened. and how the Lord was going to give us wisdom how to deal with it. Now, I think he gave me some wisdom last night about how to deal with this. If it happens, my first prayer is people will wake up. Our federal government will wake up. They're going to seal that border. They're going to do whatever they can to defend and protect the citizens of the United States, and start by sealing our border. And without that, there is no defense. We are wide open to the worst of all kinds of attacks. But my first prayer is pray for our government, pray for our president, pray for our Congress, pray for everybody in authority. They will have an awakening. They will get this job done. They will defend our country so that this doesn't have to happen. And but if they don't wake up very soon, this will happen. And so what do we do now?
So on the surface, and with the newscasts that are going on right now, they are trying to make President Trump look as if he is a spoiled baby. They're saying he shut the government down on purpose and he's just throwing a temper tantrum because he's not getting his way. That is not the truth. The truth is they're refusing to do their jobs and protect the citizens of this country. They are constantly making references to him and putting him down because he is not on the same page with him. President Trump is not a globalist. He doesn't believe in that at all. It's one thing to talk about building a wall. It's another thing to do it. Now, I find it very interesting that the same people who are criticizing and condemning him for wanting to build the wall are the very same ones who said that they believe we should have a wall. That's number three.
Of immigrants, and we should all be proud of it. But we're also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws.
Not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before.
Families who enter our country the right way and play by the rules, watch others flout the rules.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
We've got to do several things, and I am, adamantly against illegal immigrants. Certainly, we've got to do more at our borders, and people have to stop employing illegal immigrants.
We're working to make sure that we have sufficient facilities to detain, house, and process them appropriately. And it is unlikely that their children will be able to stay. And I've asked parents across Central America not to put their children in harm's way.
Isn't that interesting? The same ones who are making the fuss now are the same ones who before thought that this was a good idea. What's changed? Because President Trump is anointed of God, they're going to come against him just because he is anointed. I guarantee you, if President Trump said that he didn't want the wall, they would be building it and it would be as high as he possibly could get it. And he would have to fight against them to not build it. So let's explore some scenarios real quick. Now I'm wrapping it up. President Trump could write an executive order and build the wall. Yes, this is true. But if he did it through the executive order, the next president can come in behind him and write another executive order and remove it. If he does it this way, it won't be permanent. Scenario number two, President Trump can allocate monies from other places within the defense budget to build the wall. Same thing, if it's not permanent, they can find a way to dismantle it or take it down after his terms have expired. So he really has to hold the fort down here and fight to get this through. This here I find absolutely fascinating. Number three, they're saying President Trump can just pay for it himself. He's a billionaire. He's got all this money. Yes, he can. But why should he, when it's part of the defense system of the United States and a part of his job as the president to defend us? And if he does that, when he leaves office, Congress will write a law saying we no longer will take your money to fund the wall. So all of these different scenarios have been posted out there saying, you know, this is a solution. This is, you know, this is what we can do to solve it. Number four, President Trump can petition the court to make Congress do its job. Yes, he can. But at the same time, spent doing that would be wasted because they know how to tie things up in courts for years. So they would wait until he finished his 8 years, and then they would be right back in the same position. It won't be legal, and it won't last. And option number five, Congress can present a law to President Trump on behalf of the American people and make it a permanent part of the government. This is the way to go. And this is why he's so adamant in standing for what he's asking for and requesting. What is the glue that is tying the globalists and the President Trump haters together? And I'm just focusing on those two people. It is the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit hates anything that's godly. In 1 John 4:2-4, by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. All, and I mean all, of these groups are coordinated together through the Antichrist spirit. They are different individually as a whole, but they are all operating under one spirit. And you really, really need to get that in your spirit, because it's not black versus white. It's not the Nazis against the Christians. It's not any of that. You got to look deeper, and you got to see that it's the Antichrist spirit that's pulling these things together. And they're grouping them all together. Everyone understand everything that was said? Any questions on anything? Father, I just thank you for these words, the teaching that went forth tonight. I pray that all of these things would be sunk deep within our spirits. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will lock them in. Lock them in so that we could act, so that we can pray, so that we can intercede in the timely season. And Father, as we're more aware now of what you're doing and what is actually coming against your plan and your purpose, let us be in season and out of season, in your will, doing the things that you need us to do. Father, this is definitely the time for souls. This is the time to bring in the harvest, because you are winding things up. And we don't know the day or the hour, but we just know that it is time to work for you like never before. And Father, we lift up President Trump and his family. We thank you that you have made him strong. You've given him a backbone of steel and a forehead as flint. And Father, nothing is going to shake him or stop him. And we have every confidence in you that you're causing this thing to be turned around for the United States' good. We love you. We just give you honor tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.